You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the departure of Chris Farfoy and Trevor Mallard from politics, and with it, a number of changes to cabinet. This morning, I spoke to political scientist Dr. Lara Greaves about these changes. She's from the University of Auckland and a regular B contributor. Are cabinet restructures halfway through a term expected?
I don't think this is too unexpected. I think that Ardern and Cabinet generally had been under a bit of pressure from the opposition given recent poll numbers and across certain specific portfolios as well. I think that media and commentators generally pointed to there being some underperforming ministers. So I don't think this is too unexpected. And I think actually, if anything, this is more of a positive thing because it's showing that Ardern is willing to evolve her Cabinet and her government over time and to make those changes. Because one of the criticisms when Helen Clark left and Labour lost previously was that there was this, you know, a lot of people that were more at the top end or senior and a bit of a vacuum was left by her departure. So I see this as a really good kind of shuffle or like putting incremental steps in place to start structuring some more talented, more early career people into those executive portfolios.
The main story that's been on the headlines is that Trevor Mallard is leaving. He is heading overseas to take up a diplomatic role. Ardern has denied his departure was due to recent pressure from the opposition over his handling of the parliament protests. But the timing is quite convenient. It comes just days after he came under fire for refusing to acknowledge the trespass notices he issued. What do you make of this?
Trevor Mallard's term as Speaker has been really controversial and there's a lot more that's happened in it as well, and Ardern has acknowledged that, but he's faced a lot of challenges that normally Speakers don't face. I think that we never expected him to be one of those more subtle, quiet Speakers, and he has done a lot of things around like parental leave and making the House more receptive to babies and children and that sort of thing. So he has done some stuff as Speaker, showed some leadership there, but there have been a lot of controversial points in his term as Speaker. We also recently saw a poll from TVNZ that showed that only around 20% of people approved of him as Speaker. And so it then became a bit of a distraction for the government. And he's been a distraction for quite some time, because I remember talking about this about a year and a half ago as well, that he had the controversy over him naming and the court case around him saying that there was a rapist in Parliament. But that was also a huge controversy that a lot of people wanted him to go over. So I think that it's just, the writing's been on the wall for this for quite some time. And I think that, again, it's a good point to bring in Adrian Radasse as Speaker and to really show him in the role as well. So I think that it's a very advantageous time in the electoral cycle to have Adrian Radasse in that role as well, because we know that Te Tai Hauāuru, Adrian's seat, is going to be quite closely run between him and Debbie Ngāre Opaka next election. So I think that that's a really important point there. But generally, I think a lot of people have been thinking for quite some time that Trevor Mallard would be moved on. And I think that going away to a diplomatic post has always been something that, if that next thing that you move your long-serving MPs, your long-serving ministers onto.
The opposition has gone after him quite hard and kind of almost accusing him of bias at some points. But the role of the Speaker is supposed to be diplomatic at its core, regardless of political affiliation. Would the National Party or the opposition parties be attempting to bring in their own people? Would they have the numbers for that?
Generally, what's going to happen here is that Labour's nominee, Adrian Radasse, will take over as Speaker. There's no real way or precedent for them to now bring in a National Party Speaker per se. And I think that Adrian will do an excellent job in the role. He's done great as Deputy Speaker, and whenever I've seen him performing in the House, he's been very more dignified, quiet, but authoritative, and I think he will do excellently in that role because he also has less of that political baggage that Trevor Mallard had as well. So I think that generally now it's just a case of seeing how Adrian Radasse goes as Speaker. The Speaker's role is incredibly tough. I think Mallard likened it at one point to like refereeing a sports game when your kid's playing. So it's a bit tricky to be able to put aside those personal biases and actually do the role. So I think it's a really tough role to make sure that you do kind of maintain that neutrality, but still you are ultimately, someone like Trevor Mallard has been part of the Labour Party for more than 35 years, so it's incredibly tough to seem like you're being neutral. And I think there have been certain times in Parliament that you could definitely point to where he wasn't as neutral as he could have been.
Switching tracks here, Porter Williams has also been stripped of the police portfolio with Chris Hipkins set to take up the role. With the media kind of reporting a spike in gang violence and ram raids in the past few weeks and Luxon calling for Williams to go. Was this change expected?
I think we all kind of expected Porter Williams to be reshuffled. And the moment that this cabinet reshuffle was announced, that was the one that a lot of people were pointing to. I think that the real tricky thing about being a minister is it's also your job to get out there and sell the policy. And policy around crime and the police is incredibly complex. So there's so many factors at play around poverty and inequality and intergenerational trauma and all sorts of different factors going on there. And also things like police operations, which are incredibly tricky. So there's so many factors going on. You have to figure out some way to sell any policy in that space to the public. And also really be on the defence from parties like National and ACT, who people generally associate with being tough on law and order. So it's an incredibly tricky position to be in, and Porter Williams, by pretty much all accounts, has not really succeeded in that role. And so it's really important now, I think, to have someone like Chris Hipkins in the role that can stand up to Luxon and stand up to David Seymour and ACT and be able to really articulate what Labor's vision for this area is. And that's going to be really important going forward, to see what does that more centre-left police minister, like what does that role look like now and with all of the different competing pressures that are happening in 2022.
Chris Hipkins does have a lot of political experience, but he also has several other major portfolios at the moment. Ahead of the election, wouldn't it make more sense to kind of prioritise this portfolio, which is expected to be quite a hotly contested topic?
I think that Chris Hipkins will be really good at getting out there and like standing up for Labor and their policy agenda and really articulating it. And I think that that's where it's quite important to have someone that can really have the good quips and the good comebacks and really stand up and sell Labor policy that they're going to put in place. I think that he is spread across a lot of areas. They've kind of tried to back him up by, you know, making there be various associate ministers in place. And I think he is someone who works really hard and covers a lot of portfolios. I mean, we have seen with Chris Farfoy that he seems to be burnt out. So we just kind of really, I think, as a society, hope that that doesn't keep happening to various ministers. Because, yeah, Chris Hipkins has been the sort of, I think Toby Manhire called him like Fix-It-Kins, because people always make jokes about his last name. But that's what he has been. He has been the Minister Fix-It. And I think that, you know, out of all of the people that they have there, he is someone who could make a really good run at police. But there is that risk of him being spread a bit thin, and there is that risk of, as well, burnout.
That was political scientist Dr. Lara Greaves speaking to me about Labor's cabinet reshuffle. We'll be right back with some more news content after this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.